We begin the current daf Masechet Shkalim daf Chaf. We begin on the bottom of your Tesame base, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. But the Gemara continues a similar discussion as it had been discussing in the previous daf regarding if someone finds basar, finds meat. And then we said the halachas of roiv, that if roiv of the people are Jewish, or the roiv of the sheikhtim, the taifchim, the majority of the butchers are Jewish, so then even if a non-Jew is selling it, so then we said that it has the halacha of being kosher because of the roiv. However, our Gemara continues on the theme and talks about when Rav went down to Bavel, so he saw that the Jewish people were being very lenient with this isser of meat, even to leave it in the hand of a non-Jew, as we see there are certain leniencies when a non-Jew is selling it if the majority are Jewish, and therefore he was stringent and he made forbidden every basar shenis alam min ha'ayin, every meat that was concealed from the eye that people did not see for some time. He said it was asr, even though in halacha it might not have been asr, only in certain circumstances, as if when it was in the possession of a non-Jew. However, because he saw they were lax, he was more stringent than usual. As the Gemara explains, Rav Nachas Lataman, Rav went down over there from Eretz Yisrael, he went down to Babel. Chamsun Makilin, he saw that they were very lenient regarding the halachas of basr shenis al min ayin, regarding meat that was out of sight for some time. And therefore, v'chamarlein, he was stringent on them, even in certain areas that maybe he would not have paskin that it was usher in certain circumstances. But since he saw that they were too lenient, he was being magder milsa, he was making a boundary to say that even these cases, he's going to say they're usher. As the Gemara illustrates with many different incidents, chad bar nash azel, there was a certain person that he went, we continue on top of chafa medalf, boyu mashizga is kufse begoy nahara. So he wanted to wash his meat off in the river. And as he was washing off his piece of meat, it fell into the river. V'inchas up, and he went and he forgot it. He left it there. V'azal, and he went away. Chazar bayi misvina, but he came back and he wanted to take it out from the river and use it. So Amalei Rav, Rav told him, Aslacha, this piece of meat is forbidden for you. Why? He left it here and he came back and he took it out of the river. So Rav says, Dinamar, because I say, Hahi shatav nar, maybe the piece of meat that you dropped in the river already swept it away. And this piece of meat that you're taking out, although it's the same place where you dropped your piece of meat, maybe it's a piece of nevela that was brought from somewhere else. And therefore, although you dropped your meat and you're taking out meat, maybe yours was swept away, and this is a piece of nevela, and therefore it's us for you to eat it. Similarly, the Gemara says, Chad bar nash, there was a certain individual, have mahalch b'shuka, he was walking in the marketplace, torn kupat, he was carrying a piece of meat. Asadaisa, a vulture came, v'chatvim, and they grabbed it away from him, and then it went and it dropped it. So Chazabai Misvin, he wanted to go pick it up. He saw the vulture take it out of his hand and drop it, whatever it is, a few yards away. And he wanted to take it. Only Rav told the Maslach, it's forbidden for you. Because I say, possibly, maybe it was carrying a piece of nevela meat. We don't see what else it was carrying. And it dropped that. And it took your piece, and that is, although it seems like he picked yours up and dropped it a little bit distance away, maybe that's not the case. Maybe your piece he took with him, and the piece that he dropped was really the nevela piece that he was holding before. And that's the idea that he was so stringent because they saw they were so lenient, so he was going to the other extreme to be machmer so that the people shouldn't be lenient in what halachically is forbidden. Similarly, the Gemara says Ginoi, which is the name of a river, Shatav Zikin, it swept away these flasks of wine. So this incident came in front of Yitzchak Berlazer, the pasuk in the halacha of Amar, and he said, "Yechkemun shafoya kitrahin." He said, "Let the owners recognize the flasks to recognize if it's their flasks." And this story was brought because it's similar to the case of the meat that was found in the river. So similarly, he said over here that you have to have a simon, although it would seem that it's the same one. But let them recognize their flasks, see how they tied it, to see what it looks like, then, only then can they go ahead and use it, because, again, we could say that maybe theirs were taken away, and these are other ones. Similarly, the Gemara says, Nikuniko, which that's the same idea of the zikin, of these wine flasks, Ishtakeach bechnishta devuli, was found in the shul in Vuli, which is the name of a place. Asa ubdi kum Rabbi Yirmiyah, so this incident came in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amar, so he said, Yishak min sukuraya avidatayn, let those who make the marks with ink to make the signs on the barrels, let them see if they can recognize it. If they can recognize it, then they'll know that it's theirs and then they could take it. But if not, again, we don't know whose it is. Similarly, Gedit Sli Ishtakeach Bisarati de Gufta. There was a roasted kid goat that was found in the marketplace of Gufta. And they said it's permitted based on two areas of halacha. One is mishum mitziah. Regarding the halacha of mitziah, that is, although generally if you find something, you have to return it, you have to be machris, you have to call it out, maybe it's someone that lost it. However, here we say that it was already, that the owners were miyayish, they already gave up hope, and hence it's like hefker, and the one who finds it could take it. So regarding that area of halacha, they said that's permitted. And also regarding another area of halacha, because the majority of the people that go there are a certain type of people, they permitted this piece of meat also, as the Gemara explains. They said it's permitted regarding finding the object, that you don't have to return it. To tell you, like we learned in the Baraisa, if someone saves an object from the hand of a lion, the lion is about to take a hold of it. Or miyad hagai, so from marauding dangerous troops that are coming. Or mishunas hayam, or from, these are these waves that come near by the shore. Or mishunas hanor, or from these waves that are there by the river. Or misarati gedolo, or from a large marketplace. Or mepalati gedolo, or from a large plaza. Harei l'shaloi, if you save this item from any one of these areas that it's there, you can keep it. Because the owner gives up hope from it. If a lion is coming, or these troops are coming, or these waves are coming, he says, you know, I'm never going to get it. And hence, if someone else jumps and gets it, he could keep it. So that's regarding the cheshem mishpat aspect of it, that they permitted for regarding the halacha of mitziah, that you could keep it. However, there's another area of concern in halacha that they said that that's also permitted. Mishum roiv mahalchei drachim, this, that most of the people that go there, they say mishum shchitas nachri. In other words, there's an area of Yeridaya, of Kashrus, that's a concern, that regarding the slaughtering of a non-Jew. And that is, they said, that since most of the people that went over there were Jewish, so then they said not only that you could keep it, because whoever the owner is was Meyayish, but you could actually even eat it, because since the Rav are Yisrael, so therefore we say that it's kosher. And as the Gemara concludes, that's actually what it was, because of Ishtakech min the base late Rebbe, because they found out ultimately that this Gedi, this kid goat, was from the household of Rebbe, so we see that it was kosher. It's just concluding this halacha to show that if the Rav is Yisrael, so not only, as we said, can you keep it because of Mitzia, but you could actually even eat it because of the Rav. Similar type of story, Eagle the Guvna Ishtakech bepundika de Levi. There was a round piece of cheese that was found in the place where Levi had stayed. Vitiruhu mishum shnei dvarim, and they permitted based on these two areas of halacha. One's mishum mitziah, and one's mishum rev mahalcha drachim, because of most of the people that went there. The one area is mishum mitziah because of the found object. It's not like we learned hamatzah miyad hagai, so if someone saves from this army that's coming, miyad hari, from a lion, mishum nesayam, from the waves of the sea, mishum nesanar, from the waves of the river, mishrachi gedayla, and from a large marketplace, mipalati gedayla, and from a large plaza. Again, you can keep it, because the owners, they give up hope. Yish is like hefker, there's no chiv to return it. Now, mishum roiv mahalchei derachim, but they also permitted because of the majority of people that go there, mishum gvinas nachri, because of the non-Jews cheese, it might be forbidden because of not being kosher, but since the majority were Jewish, therefore they said that you could even eat it. And as the Gemara concludes, vishtakech min Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yesi, and actually they found out that it actually was a Jew. They found out whose it was, and you didn't have to return it because of the yish. And also, it was able to be eaten because of the halacha of roiv. However, the Gemara does say that Amr Mane Kumi Reb Yesi, he said, but Vanan Chamayin, but we do see that Rabbanan Machrizin, Rabbanan, they do announce it. In other words, although we just said the halacha, that if one finds something in a marketplace or where the public is there and the person's miyayish, then you don't have to call it out, you can keep it. But we see that the Rabbanan, that they do call it out, even though it's found in the shuk, in the marketplace. So Malayis, Reb Yesi said to Rabbanan, you, in Havisa Meshakech, if you would find something in the plaza, in the marketplace, Loi Nasvas, you wouldn't take it without announcing it. But Reb Yehuda Avuch Loi Amar Kein, your own father, Reb Yehuda, didn't say this. Elama, he said the following phrase, he used to say, Halavai Ka Nishkach, that only if it would be that when we find the lost object, Nishkach Min Piusa V'Lagai, that we should find it from the area of Piusa and inside. In other words, that was an area where the Rabbim was there, where there were many people. And he was saying, if I find something, let it be in the area where I'm going to be able to keep it, where the Rabbim is Matsuyin Sham. So why would you say that if you found it in an area where there's many people, you're saying that the Rabbanan called it out, you're making it sound like you wouldn't take it. Your own father used to say, I hope I find something in such an area because then I could keep it. However, the Gemara does say that Afila Kain, even so, even though his father used to say this, Eshkach V'lay Nasav. It happened once that he did find it in such a situation where there was a Rabbim and he didn't take it. To show, although he always used to say, I hope I find it, but ultimately in practice, he was machmer like the Rabbanan, and he was machris. Another interpretation is that was going on Ramana, his son, that although his father used to always say this to be lenient, but even so, one time it happened and he found it and he wasn't willing to be lenient in this halacha, and he was machris and he did call it out. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, halacha gimel. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah is of nimtza, finding something. So the Mishnah says, Behema shenimtzis miyushalayim van migdal edim. Regarding an animal that's found from the area of Yerushalayim all the way up until Migdal Eder, which is near Bethlehem, ukemidasa l'charuach, and in that measurement in all different directions, then the halacha is zecharim oilis. If the animal that you're finding is a male animal, then we assume that it's a carbon oila. And that is again because we assume, although this is out of Yerushalayim, we're assuming the animals came from Yerushalayim, and that's where it came to, and the Gemara will explain the reason for this. So since we're assuming that up until the area of Migdal Eder, in all directions, it came from Yerushalayim, so we have to assume that there are possible karbanas. So if it's a male animal, we assume that it's a karban oila. Nikevus zivchi shlam, and if it's a female animal, we assume that it's a karban shlam. Behudai Mehi says, haro lipsachim, if the animal is an animal that's fit to be a karban pesach, which means to say it's a male in its first year, and it's either a lamb or it's from the goat family, then lipsachim, then you say that it has halachic status of a Pesach, and therefore if someone finds such an animal in that area, in that vicinity, then he could bring this animal actually as a Korban Pesach. That is only if Kodim L'Regel Lamed Yom, that it's within 30 days before Pesach, because that's the time when they really start asking questions and lecturing on the halachas of Pesach, and that's when people stop appearing. Therefore, if you find such an animal in that area, then we assume that it was designated for Korban Pesach, and if you find it, then you can use it as a Korban Pesach. Now the Mishnah tells us, B'rishayna, Hoyimimashkinin es Meitzeo, originally they would take collateral from people that would find the animals in this area from Yerushalayim until Migdal Eder, Achuhu Mevi Nisachau, until he would bring with the animal that he found, the Nisachim, the libations that are necessary to come with the animal from his own pocket. Because this animal, we're saying, we're assuming it's an oil or a shlam, so you have to bring it, but it has to come with Nisachim. Who's going to bring it? So we were Machayim, the one that found it. But then Chazru Liyis Manichim, I said, Ubarchin. So the people that would find it, they would just leave it and run away because no one wanted to have to go ahead and shell out. They don't mind bringing the carbon, but they don't want to shell out the money for the Nisachim. So Iskinu Bezdin, so the Bezdin instituted, Shiyu Nisachehu Aboin Mishal Tziba, that no problem, go ahead and bring it, and the Nisachim, the libations, will be brought from the funds of the Tzibra of the public. So on this, Amr Shimon, Shimon says, Zayin Dvarim Iskinu Bezdin. There are seven things that were instituted in Bezdin regarding this area of halacha. And this is one of them, which again, as we said, that if someone finds it, the Nisachim will come from the Tzibur. The second one was, if a non-Jew sends his carbon oila from Medina Siyam, which is across the seas that it was shipped in from Chutz Laaretz, Teretz Yisrael, and that's because we do accept from non-Jews, Nidarma Nadabas, if he makes a vow or he's bringing a donated carbon, that is as the Pasuk says, ish, ish, to include even non-Jews their karbanas. So if v'shalachim nesachim, if together with his karban oila, he knew enough of halacha to know that a karban could only come with nesachim, and he sent it, so then craving mishalai, then we bring his karban oila together with his libations that he's sending. Then lav, and if he didn't send, they only sent the karban, then craving mishal tzibur, that was the second takana, that then those funds will be used from the tzibur to bring the nesachim with the non-Jews karban. The third Tanai Bezdin was v'chin ger shemeis v'nir zvachim. If a convert dies and he leaves over karban, so imyesh l'nesachim, if he has wine, if he has things to be brought as libations, then krev mishalai, then it's brought from his own. V'mlav, again, krev mishal tzibah, it's brought from the funds of the public, again, because he doesn't have any relatives. The fourth one was, v'tnai bezdin hu al kohen gadol shemeis, it's a condition of bezdin regarding the kohen gadol that dies. Every day a mincha had to be brought from the Kohen Gadol, called the Minchas Chabitin. If he dies, then who's going to bring it? So on that was the fourth takana, that his mincha will be brought from the funds of the Tzibur. However, Rabbi Huda argues, and he says, Mishal Yershin. It was brought not from the Tzibur, but rather from his inheritors. And the Gemara will explain the reason for this. Vishlema Hisakrev. However, this was brought, as the Gemara will explain, this particular halacha, that it was brought not halves, as it was brought by the Kohen Gadol, rather it was brought complete. The fifth takana was, ala melech v'ala eitzim, regarding the salt and the wood that was in the Beis HaMikdash, shiha kohanim no eisim hem, that the kohanim could have enough of it and they can use it for their own needs. The sixth takana was, Vala para, regarding the para aduma, shalayu moyalin bafra, that there should not be any me'ila from the efer, from the ashes of the para aduma that's burnt. And the seventh one was, Vala kinin shahapasulais, regarding the kinin, which these are the pairs of birds that are brought by people, like, for example, a woman that gave birth, or a woman that has ziva, that became invalid. And that is, if let's say the kinin that are purchased with the monies that a person brings into these boxes that are designated, that says kinin on it, and they put in their money for the karbonos to be brought, and then that pair of birds becomes invalid, so that's a tanai bezdin shiboyis mishal tzibah, that should come from the public funds, and then the public gives the monies that was supposed to be brought from this person's money that somehow became invalid, and then they are maknid, they make it acquired to the owner of who was supposed to be brought it, that they should fulfill their chiv. That was the seventh takana. However, Rabbi Yosi argues and he says, no, that hamasapik hasakinin, the one that provides the birds to Hekdash, to the Beis HaMikdash, that he takes it upon himself to provide all the needs of the Beis HaMikdash for the pairs of birds. Someone has to be the supplier, so therefore all the responsibility is on him. Therefore, if it becomes invalid, who mesapek es apsulis? He has to go out and make up for that. If it became pasul, that's the takana of Bezdin, that he's responsible, not the Mishal Tzibah, but rather the mesapek, the provider, the one that's importing it, he has to go ahead and make up for that. Now, the Gemara has a question, which was related to the beginning of the mission that we spoke about. We said if you find an animal from Yerushalayim until Migdal Eder, which is an area in the perimeter of Yerushalayim, so he said if you find a male animal, then we're going to say it's going to be a carbon oil. If you find a female, we're going to say it's a shlam. Now, the question is, are male animals only carbonous oil and not shlamim? Maybe it's a shlamim too. How can you bring a carbon oil out of this animal? A male animal could be used for shlamim and oil. A female could only be for shlamim, but a male could be for both. And so therefore, why does our Mishnah say, if you find it as a male, you bring it as a carbon oil? So that the Gemara says, Reb Hoishi Rabba Amar, Levo B'demehen Shonu. We're talking about a specific halach over here. We're saying that if someone's coming with its money, now what that means is, you're right, the animal itself is not brought as a carbon whatsoever. Because you're right, we don't know if it's an oil or if it's a shlam. It's just a male animal. It could be either one. We can't bring either one for the other. Rather, what we're talking about over here is somebody found this animal. Now, he wants to know if there's any way to rectify this, because whoever the owner is lost it, and he wants to be able to have this brought for what the owner wanted it to be brought. And so therefore, if he wants to do that, he has to be clear of any area of doubt and then have the animal go to Chulin. So now he's going to have the animal come to Chulin. He's deconsecrated what it's supposed to be and then sanctify those monies. If it's a male animal, what we're saying is that, yeah, if it's a female animal, there's only one thing that it could be. It could only be a shlam. It can't be an oil. But if it's a male, what we said is that it has to be brought even with its money a carbon oil, because we're concerned that maybe not only is it a shlam, in this case, when it's a male, it could even be an oil. And therefore, you're right, what we're saying is that the animal, we don't know which one it is, but if someone wants to rectify it, he takes this animal, deconsecrates it twice, saying, if it's a shlamim, I'm going to put it on this money as a shlamim. If it's an oil, put on this. And he's bringing these two monies to buy oil and shlamim, and then that will deconsecrate this animal, and whatever it was supposed to be for, it'll be deconsecrated on these two things. But you're right, we don't know if it's an oil or a shlamim. And that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, I'm like, Yechanan, do we tell somebody, this person that found it, he wants to do good. He wants to have this animal brought forward what it's supposed to be doing. So do we tell him, say umo'ol b'kachim, go out and do me'ila in kachim? And that is because any animal that's designated for the mizbeach, which is what we're talking about, we're assuming that it's either an oil or a shlam, it's forbidden to deconsecrate it in a state of tamimis, when it's in the state that it could be brought it complete without any mum on the mizbeach. Because as we learn from the pasuk, it says, "In b'mehema hatemeya," if it's a non-kosher animal, if it's not valid, then upad be'erkecha, then you can redeem it. Which the Gemara says in Menachos, it's not toma tame, but rather toma abal mum, that then you can redeem it. But what this person is doing is he's taking this animal, deconsecrating on two monies, one for oil, one for shlam. So that's what we tell him to do. We tell him to do me'ila, to deconsecrate it in the state of tamimis that it's in, to be able to help the person that lost it, that this animal should be brought. But he's doing an avera. He's going and deconsecrating it in the state of tamimis that it's in. So rather, El the Gemara says, Hilchu behen achare, a different ukimta is how we're explaining this case of the Mishnah. Rather, you go after the majority. And that is, im roiv zecharim, if most of the animals, there's a group of animals, if most of the animals are males, so then it's obvious, at least it would seem, that these animals were sanctified to be karbanos oilus. And therefore, oilus then will say that these animals that are male are going to be oilus. And the reason is because shlamim are kosher to be also from females. Therefore, if we see that the majority, there's a whole bunch of zecharim, so then we say mistama, we're assuming that these were sanctified only to be oilus, because oilus only come from males. And therefore, we're seeing the majority are males, we assume that it goes after that category that could only be for males, which are carbon oilus. Imroiv nekevas. That's what the next case of the Mishnah was saying. Not if you find the nekeva, but if the majority are females, then zivchi shlamim, then we assume that it's a carbon shlam. Again, based on the halacha of roiv, tells us that most definitely that these animals were sanctified to be carbon shlam, because females are also kosher to be as shlamim and not for an oil. And therefore we say that even if there are other males, but if the majority are females, then we go after the roiv and we say that if this group is being brought as shlamim, we're saying that all of them are going to be brought as a carbon shlam. On that, the Gemara asks on this explanation of the Mishnah. Now, the ein hashlamim boim min hazacharim in the kevis. Can't shlamim be brought from both males and from females? And if shlam can be brought from males also, therefore, even by the males, we should be concerned that they're being brought from a shlam. Understand that if let's say the majority are females, so then that can only be shlam. So then the Rav tells us that. But when they're males, yes, oilus can only be from males. But that doesn't tell us that you can't bring a whole bunch of male for the shlamim. And therefore, why are we saying, why are we assuming in such a case that the Rav is telling us if there's zecharim, that it's going to be oila, it could just as easily be karban shlam. So therefore, the Gemara says, you're right. Rather, the explanation is as follows. So what does the person do? What are we telling him to do in this case when we're saying if it's a zachar, it's an oila, if it's in the cave, it's a shlam? What he does is that he waits for it to be able to be deconsecrated to chum, which is, you're right, we cannot do it in a state of tamimis. We wait till it develops a mum. Then and then he goes and he makes it, and we continue on to Amud Beis, oilis, then he makes it into oilis again, which means to say, also an oila, because we're going back essentially to the original kimta, and that is because we don't know which one it is. It could be oila, it could be a shlam, because males could be from either one. But when we say you find it as that, we're saying that you're going to take and do both from it, an oil and a shlam. But then we asked, but you cannot deconsecrate in the state of tamim. He says, you're right. The Gemara is basically answering right now. We wait till it develops a blemish. Then when it does it, then there's no problem to be paided. Then you'll do it both on shlam. And what the Mishnah means when it says oil means, and also an oil. Because it could also be that, that's in contrast to the case of the nekeva, where there could only be shlamim, that we know that it's going to be shlam, and we don't have to say that it's going to be for shlamim and for an oil. That's one approach. Amrim Zeira says, he's coming to answer this original question that we asked, that if it's males, who said it's going to be a carbon oil? It could be just as easily a carbon shlam. So why is our Mishnah saying that it's brought as a carbon oil? So that Zeira says, Kamodat Amataman. Essentially, it's just like we say over there, which we said in the previous daf, regarding when you find the monies between the box, there's 13 shofars, 13 boxes that were there in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there were two boxes near each other, one of Kinan, which were the obligatory, and the pair of bird offerings that had to be brought for a Yeledes, a Zava, a Zav. And there was a box near it called Gezala Oila, which were the young pigeons, which those were Nedavis for Karban Oila, which the Gemara asked. The term of the Gemara was, V'yesh Chatzis Kreva Oila, could a Chatzis be brought as an Oila? In other words, the Gemara's question was, why are we saying that it goes if you find the money between them? We don't know where it came from. Mechza, mechza. It's going to go to the box of the young pigeons, which are oilois, but maybe it fell from the kinim, which are chatois. One is chatis, one is oil. It has to be brought from the pair of bird offerings. How could a chatis be brought as an oilo? And what do we answer over there? That tanai bezin hu alamei saris shikriv oilois. That was what a condition from bezin, that the leftovers, because that's essentially what it is when you can't bring it as a kinim because you don't know which one it's from. So therefore, this chatos is like leftover now, because we don't know what to do with it. Leftovers, we said, are brought as oilus, and therefore that answered that question, how it can be brought into the box of the gezalis, of the young birds, and be brought as an oila. So it says, kenat mar oif hacha, that's what you could say over here too. Tanai bezin hu alay avadus, yikruv oilus. This is the same case. When you have a chatos, that, or any other carbon for that matter, that you don't know what happened to it and it's left over. So then we say that although it's fit to be brought as a shlamim, but now it's left over, it's lost. All these types are then assumed to be in the category to be brought as a carbon ayla, and therefore he's saying you don't have to have these akimtas of Rabbi and Rabbi Yechon. You can say very simply, this was a Tanai Bezdin, that animal that's lost, and then you find it, which is the case over here. So though, yes, it could be a shlamim, because Zachar could be a shlamim or ayla, but we say the animals that are lost are brought as carbon ayla. Now that the Gemara asks, Amr Yisrael from Yaakov Baracha, but ain't ze mezid? Isn't this your classic problem of being mechal intentionally a shlamim onto an oilam? In other words, if this is possibly a shlam, which it could be, a male could be a shlam or an oila. Now, how can we go ahead and use it as a carbon oila? You're being mechal, you're taking an animal that could be for one category for another one, that's forbidden. So Amalei said, but that's the point I'm telling you. Mikivin truth, nai bezdin, ein ze mezid. Since this is a condition of Bezdin, that's not considered doing intentionally something wrong, because this was the Tanai Bezdin in it, that they have the authority to say that this halacha is that anything that's lost will have the status as a carbon oila. Now the Gemara continues and says the following halacha, because since in our Mishnah we spoke about a Kohen Gadol Shemes, we're talking about a Kohen Gadol that dies, what happens to his carbon mincha? Is it brought from the Tzibur? Is it brought from his Yershin? So here also the Gemara is going to discuss in its discussion the machlekes of Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shimon Malkish regarding the Asiris Ha'efa, the tenth of the Efa, which is what we were speaking about in our Mishnah, regarding those halachas. So therefore the Gemara brings it in over here. Amr Biyasa said, Ada no Taman, while I was still there in Bavel, Shamet Kal Rabbi Yehuda Shalishma, I heard Rabbi Yehuda asking from Shmuel the following question. Hefesh Shikli B'meis. If someone designated his shekel, which that's every year, everyone takes a machzah shekel for the truma, which is used to buy the karbanos of the tzibur. So if someone separated a shekel, and then he died. So what's the halacha? So Malay, so Shmuel answered him, Yipulin Adav, it's not used for the shekelim to purchase the karbanos tzibur, because he's not part of the tzibur, he's dead. Rather, it falls to Nadava. A different question he asked him was, Umayser Asiris Seifashalai, what's the halacha regarding the leftovers of the tenth of the Eifa of the Kohen Gadol? So then we have a machlekes. Rabbi Yechonon Amar, he says, Yilichim leyam hamelech, you throw it into the Yam HaMelech, which means to say that you're not allowed to have anof, but and there's no me'ila. Rabbi Lazam, he says, Yipul nadava, says that it falls for the nadava, and that is, as we mentioned, Shmuel's opinion on the previous staff, that Shmuel holds, actually, that's the reason why there were six boxes of nadava, because one of them was for the meiser, asir seif, from the leftover of the asir seif, which is used for nadava, which, again, the nadava are those that they use that money to purchase the oilas for the kites of mizbech. When the mizbech would be idle, they bring karbonis oila from those monies. Now they're going to ask the following question. Asir seif shel kohen gadol, what is the halacha in general regarding the tenth of the eifa of the kohen gadol? And that is, every single day, the kohen gadol would bring this tenth of an eifa. Now, this was what was called the chavitin. It was the chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. Now, the reason why it's called chavitin was based on the word machavas. And that is, it was fried in oil in this pan of machavas. As the Mishnah says in Masechtas Menachos Nabnunim Beis, that there's a certain halacha regarding the chavite Kohen Gadol. It wasn't brought in halves. Rather, it was brought a complete tenth. Then it was split in half. And then they would bring half in the morning and half in the afternoon. Now the reason was is because the pasuk says machtzisa, it's half in the morning, which sounds like that it has to be brought as a whole, and then its halves are split up, half in the morning, half in the evening. So regarding this, there's a machlek is exactly how this process of whole and halves are broken down, as the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yechonon Amar, he says chaytza oisa ba'achakach makatcha. Someone agrees you have to bring it whole, but he holds first you split it. And then you sanctify it. And that's because that the half should be sanctified according to its status. And that is, since it's brought its own in the morning and its own in the afternoon. So therefore, it's first broken up and its first half, and then it's sanctified. Pshim Malakar Shama, he argues, he says, Mikatshav Achka Chaitzaisa. First you sanctify the whole tenth of the Eifa, and then you split it up. And the reason is because the way the Pasuk describes it says, Mincha Machtzisa. And that is, first it's called a mincha, which means to say first it's sanctified with the kedusha mincha, and then it's split in half. So therefore he says, first you sanctify it, and then you split in half. Now the Gemara asks on both opinions. So the Gemara asks, Masnita, which is a reference to the Mishnah Menachos over there, regarding where it talks about the Kohen Gadol, that if he brought the first half in the morning, then he died, then they appointed another Kohen Gadol in his place. So there the Mishnah tells us that he cannot bring this new Kohen Gadol, that old Kohen Gadol's second half, but rather he has to bring his own new half from his own. So what he does is he brings a complete Isarin, he splits it up in half, and then he sacrifices half, and the other half is lost. As the Gemara says, this Mishnah Menachah is Pligal Rabbi Yechanan. It's obviously arguing Rabbi Yechanan, because the Mishnah says over there, Makriv Mechza, the new Kohen Gadol, he brings one half of it, Umachza Avid. Now, the second half is lost, because it's already the afternoon that he's bringing his first half, and the second half, it's already you can't bring it tomorrow. And therefore, however, according to Rabbi Yechanan, and this is the Gemara's question, that he holds, first you split it in half, and then you sanctify it. So why do we say that the other half gets lost? It was never sanctified yet. It's only sanctified after it's split up when you're going to bring it. But since you're never going to bring it, so it was never Kaddish. It was never Kaddish. So what's the problem? You could go ahead and do whatever you want with it. So why are we saying that it's lost? So that the Gemara says, Pasala, Rabbi Yechanan would answer you, he would interpret it, that it's not true, because Shekin Afila Mo'is Yechu L'Yam HaMelech. Even the monies would go to the Yam HaMelech. And that is because this is essentially the same halacha that we had just quoted before, the Machlokes of Yechon and Shem Malakish, that regarding the Meisir Asir Seif, we said, what do you do with the excess of the tenth of the Eifa from the Kohen Gadol? Now, Rabbi Yechonon said before that even the monies of the excess of the tenth of the Eifa is thrown away to the Yam HaMelech. Whereas the other opinion said that it's brought for the Nedava, it's not totally lost. So if he says that even the monies, which is the excess of that, which it, let's say they had a certain money set aside for that Asir Seif and it didn't need all the money, so that's leftover money, even that has to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech. Most definitely, although you're right, it wasn't actually sanctified in the Kli, this other half, because Rabbi Yechonon holds first you split in half and then you sanctified, but it's definitely not any better, so to speak, than the monies, and therefore it's going to be lost, just like we say that the monies that are the extra that you didn't even use to purchase it are also lost. Now the Gemara says, the Gemara asks that Masnitin, that Mishnah over the Menachos, is Pligar Rav Shemalakish, is difficult according to the other opinion in this Machlekes of Rish Lakish. Because the Mishnah there says, Nimtzu Shnei Chatzoin Kriven. It comes out, based on this story, when it happens when the Kohen Gadol brings half in the morning, then he dies, then they bring a new Kohen Gadol, and he takes a whole one, and he splits it in half, and he brings half, and then the other half is lost, that it comes out that Nimtzu Shnei Chatzoin Kriven. It comes out two halves of different holes are brought as a carbon, and it comes out that two halves are lost, because you have the half from that was left over from the Kohen Gadol that died, and then you have the half that's left over from the new Kohen Gadol. Now, V'tani Allah, we learned regarding this Mishnah, over there the Gemara brings on Daf Nun Beis, and it's brought on Tosefta in the 7th Perek of Menachos, that Mechtza Rishon, the first half that's left over from the first Kohen Gadol, U'Mechtza Sheni, and the second half, that which is not being brought from this new Kohen Gadol, the halacha is to ubar tzurasin, that you require an ibur tzur, which is that it has to be in first, before it's going to be lost, so to speak, let's say burned, you have to first have it undergo a transformation of invalidation, which is that it has to be left overnight, the psula blina, and then the yotzla beis ha-sreva, then it's brought out to be burned. Now, the difficulty according to Rish Lakish is that he holds that it's first sanctified and then split in half. And if that's the case, both Kohen Gadol's, their other halves of the mincha that weren't brought are what's called psul begufay. They were already sanctified and now they become invalid. A psul begufay, the halacha is, does not require ibur tzura, a psul lina, because it already is so invalid because it's intrinsic, it can be burnt right away. Only things that are extrinsic, external, those things we say, that which would be if you said like Rabbi Yechanan, that it wasn't sanctified yet, then that would require ibur tzura. But according to Rish Lakish, it's difficult. Why does it require ibur tzura? It could be burnt right away. So that the Gemara says pasala, that Rish Lakish would interpret Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Shmuel, de amar isarin mikadosh. Rabbi Shmuel says that the isarin itself, the vessel that was used to just make the asir seifa, that itself is already mikadosh the mincha schavitin, and therefore you're right. The Tana of that brayza obviously is not like Rish Lakish, because he's saying it requires ibitzura, but according to Rish Lakish, it's already psul haguf, because it was already niskadish before it was split in half, and therefore, yes, you would be able to burn it right away. But it's not difficult to Rish Lakish, because he could be going like a different opinion that of Rabbi Shmuel that says that it is sanctified right away, even just when it was made in that Isarin, in that measurement of the 10th of the Eifah, and therefore he's going like that opinion, which holds that it was already Kaddish, and then yes, according to that opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, it could be burnt right away. Now the Gemara continues and says, quoting a Braisa, this is a Sifra in Parshat Tzav, that is regarding this topic of the Asir Sa'efa, that says, Kshakoin miskarv tchil lavoide. When a kohen comes the first time, ever he's coming to do the avodah in the base of Mikdash. So the halacha is, maybe asir se'efa shle, he brings his own asir se'efa, 10th of the eifa, v'oiv de biyad, and he does it by himself. That's the way the chinuch, the way a kohen starts doing his avodah. Now, echad kohen gadol, echad kohen hedyot. Now this is whether it's a kohen gadol or it's a kohen hedyot. Sh'avdu at shle hiviyu asir se'efa shlehem. Both of them require the halachas of being mechanech them in their new jobs. The regular kohen hedyot starting off, and the kohen gadol starting off his new job. So if they went and did the avodah before bringing their asir se'efa, which starts them off, they're being mechanech them in their avodah, avodah doesn't share. However, the avodah is still kasha. However, some gersaris say that the avodah is possible because the asir se'efa is ma'akiv. It does hold back regarding the kahuna, the sanctification of the kohen, that it's necessary even for Dairis that they do not become a kohen or a kohen gadol before bringing their asir se'efa, and therefore the avodah that they do would be an avodah psula. Now, relating to this, Rimana wanted to say that by a following interesting case, which is related to this halacha, which is that there's a halacha of chinuch, that when you start off being a kohen hedyot or even a kohen gadol, you have to bring this asir se'efa, he had the following case. It says, if you have that same day that he started doing avodah the first time ever in his life, which means it's the first time he's becoming a kohen hedyot. Now, boy by yoim nisman li is kohen gadol. That same exact day, that the first time he was becoming a regular kohen, that he also became a kohen gadol. So the halacha is maybe shtayim. So he wanted to say that you would bring 2/10 of an eifa. Achas lichinuche. One is for the halacha of chinuch, which is that he's being mischanach. He's starting off his tenure as a kohen gadol. V'achas lichay b'siyam. And one is for his obligation that he has to bring every single day, which is the chavite kohen gadol. Now, the reason why it says in the Gemara boyimim he wanted to say this is because what he wanted to say was that his asir se'efa that is required to bring because of his chinuch, of which means the word chinuch literally means the beginning of something new, a new venture, that of becoming the kohen gadol, that should also work for his asir se'efa that every kohen has to bring when they start of doing the avodah in the first place. But the truth is, that's not the halacha. As the Gemara concludes in the Gemara in Bavli, Masechtas Menachas, Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, that such a case, the kohen gadol would need 3. One for starting off for the first time ever doing avodah, and then one time because it's the first time becoming kohen gadol, and also because the chavid the kohen gadol has to bring every single day. Now the Gemara continues talking about this halacha of the asir se'efa. So it says that tufine, that it says in the parasha of asir se'efa, it says that mubeches tevienna tufine. It says that it should be scalded and it should be brought, that it should be baked. Now it says tufine again that it should be baked. The Gemara is darshening this word tiviyena that is going on the later part of the pasuk. That's going the word tufine. It sounds like it's been saying murbeches tiviyena that it should be brought scalded and it should be tufine. It should be baked, but they're bringing the word tiviyena on the word tufine, which means to say b'shas hava tufine. That when you're bringing it, that's when you bake it. But the halacha that is coming to tell us, the drasha is ve'im b'shachas tufine. But you don't bake it early in the morning. It should be baked only right before that it's being brought. That the Gemara asks, but Vatinin, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid that says Himidu Oisa Chavitin Lasas Chavitin, that they would set up that those who would make the Chavitin to make the Chavitin, which there that Mishnah Thomas told about before the day started to make the Chavitin. And the Gemara assumes right now, what does it mean to make the Chavitin? It means to bake them. So you see that even before the day started, they already had made the Chavitin. So what is it that you're saying that it should only be baked when it's actually brought? So that Amr B'chir Baracha, Lasus Chaman L'Revucha. No, it was only baked when it was brought. This that it says that in the beginning of the day, before the day even started, that they had those who were making the Chavitin to make it, it means that they were making the hot water for it to be scalded, but not to bake it, because Tufine was only by Tiviyena, only when it's brought. Now, moreover, it says Tufine, that this Minchas Machavas, this Chavitin, was baked. Now, there's a Machlokes in the Gemara. Rabbi Yasser b'shem Rabbi Chanin, he says that metagnav achkach oifaisa, that first this chavite kohen gadol, first it was fried, then it was baked. He says, no, first it was baked in the oven, and then then it was fried in this machvas, in this pan. Now, the Gemara says that really this is a machlekes tanoim. And they darshan the word tufine in different ways. It says in the pasuk tufine, it should be baked. That it's a contraction of the first opinion, teofeno no. It should be baked in the state of na. Now, which means to say that when it's baked in the oven, it should already be na. Now, what does na mean? That's a famous pasuk regarding the halacha of Karban Pesach. Like it says, al teichli mimenu na. Shouldn't eat from the Karban Pesach na. Now, what does na mean? It shouldn't be cooked a little bit, but not totally cooked. Now, what is something that does that, that cooks it but not totally cooked? That's what frying does. Now, the explanation of this machlokes is that everybody agrees that for the chavita kohen gadol, you have to have two things. You had to have it fried, and it had to be baked, because the pasuk says, al machavas b'shemen, it was made fried in this machavas pan in oil, and it also says, tufini baked. But the only thing is that the machlokes is that this manda amar says that first it had to be fried and then baked, because that's how they learn teofen no, that when it's baked, it should be baked in no, that it's partially cooked, which means that it was already fried and then it was baked. Rabbi Aimer, he says, teofen no, it should be baked beautiful, which means to say that when it's being baked in the oven, it should still be beautiful, and if had it been fried first, then it would already be black from the oil and from the pan. And therefore, this is like the Manda Omer that says that no, first you bake it; it should be beautiful when you're baking it, and then you fry it. Reb Deisheimer, he says teyafena riba. He says that there should be many bakings. Now, what that means is that first you bake, then you fry, and then you bake. And the Gemara Menachos on Daf Nun Amud Beis explains his opinion that he holds of both teyafena no and teyafaya no, which means to say that since he holds it has to be no, it has to be fried when he's baking it. So that's why you bake it after frying it. But he also holds the drasha of na'ah, it should be beautiful when you're baking it. And therefore, first you bake it. So you bake it, then you fry it, and then you bake it. Now the Gemara explains, as we had said before, that asin ilin palgavasa comes out that this machlik samaram is kehinin palgavasa, is like this machlik tanoim. And that is manda mateofen and na'ah, according to the opinion that says that it should be baked beautifully. So that's commando amo oifavachach matagna. That's like the opinion that says first it's baked, so it's still beautiful. It hasn't been darkened and blackened from the oven and from the oil. And then you fry it. According to the opinion that says that it's baked in a state of partial cook, which means to say that it's already been partially cooked, then it's baked. It's commando amo matagna. It's like the opinion that says that first you fry it, so it's already partially cooked, and then you bake it. Now, the Gemara tells us, which is going back on that Mishnah Menachos over there, where it says that the kohen, that if he brings his half in the morning, and then the kohen gadol dies, and then they set up a new kohen gadol in his place. So we said over there that the new kohen gadol is not allowed to go ahead and bring from the old kohen gadols. So on that, the Gemara says, Loi seif davar shemes. This halacha wasn't only if the kohen gadol dies. That's not necessarily the case. But even if he didn't die, something else he just seized from being the Kohen Gadol, then the second one still cannot bring the first Kohen Gadol's second half. Rather, he has to bring his own full Isarin from his house. So now the Gemara asks to understand this halacha. So what are you saying? It's not only if he died, but what does that mean? Elafila nitma, is that even if he just became tamei, so someone else has to take his place because he's tamei. Vafila nitcha mimum, and even if he's pushed away because there's a blemish in him that's invalidating him. In other words, the Gemara is asking a question. This that you said is not necessarily if he died. Now, that's why we have to put up a new Kohen Gadol. Is it even if he became Tameh that the same din is like this? That the second Kohen Gadol that's taking his place cannot now just bim kaim in the place of him? He can't bring the second half of the first Kohen Gadol? Or did we only say this, that if he was pushed away the first Kohen Gadol because of a blemish? And that's what we meant to say, that it's not only if he died, but even if it was a mum. But Tameh, since it's going to be just a matter of time that when the first Kohen Gadol is going to be coming back, that's not the same as dying. And maybe there, if he only became Tamei, then the second Kohen Gadol is only here for a short time. He could bring the first Kohen Gadol's second half, and he doesn't have to bring his own Asir Seifa. So what's the halacha? Is it only if he's Nitcha because of a mum? There, that way he's totally out of the picture now, even though he's not dead, but he can't do the Avodah because he has a blemish. Or is it even when he's just Tamei and he's going to come back, when he becomes Tahar, but even though he's only gone for a short time, even then we say that the new Kohen Gadol can't bring the second half of the first one. So now the Gemara says, "Tani will turn the Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi the Bar Delaya vafila nitchemimum." It's even when we said that it's not only if he died, but it's even. What's it even? Even if he was pushed away because he had a blemish, but it's only a blemish and not tumah. If he just became tame, then you could bring the second half of the first kohen gadol. He's still considered the kohen gadol. He just can't technically because he's tame, and therefore you could bring his second half. This they said that the new one has to bring his own complete aser seif from his own. Is only if he was invalidated because of something like a blemish, where that's it's like in the sense and the halachic sense like he's dead. Then you have to bring your own, but not if he only became tame. Now the Gemara asks the following question: Minayin the kohen gadol shemeis? From where do we know that if the kohen gadol passed away? And yet we didn't yet, up until now we were speaking about if they put up a new kohen gadol, but they didn't yet put up a new kohen gadol in this place. That his mincha should be brought from his yershim, from his inheritance. Now, this is also going back on the Mishnah Menachos, that the Gemara has come to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that he says over there that if they didn't put anyone yet in this place, as it's quoted in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, did you bring it from the yershim? So the Gemara is quoting Rabbi Yehuda over here, because they're going to then bring Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and then to be able to pose a contradiction in Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So first the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So how do you know that his mincha is brought from the Yershim? So Tamalayim, because the Pasuk tells us, Mi bonav yasa oisa, that from his sons it should be brought, which means to say that his up until they bring a new kohen gadol, the chavita kohen gadol will be continued to be brought from the family, from the inheritors, from the Yershim of the kohen gadol that passed away. Now, Yachal Yabiyan Lechatzayim, you would think that now the Chavita Kohen Gadol will be continued to be brought up until a new Kohen Gadol comes from the Yershim in halves, just like the father had done, that he brought half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Tamalema Oisa, that's what the Pasuk says, that the Yershim will bring it, Kula Marti, you have to bring all of it. You can't bring it in halves, but it has to be complete. Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says, no, in the Baal Mishal Tzibah, it's not brought from the inheritors, rather it's brought from the Tzibur, as this other opinion is also mentioned in our Mishnah, from one of the seven takanas that Bezin made, that it's brought from the public. Shnemek says a pasuk in Vayikra, Chok Oilam, it'll be an eternal statute of halacha, which that means to say, Misha Habris Krusoloi, those that the covenant it has been made with them, that's a reference to the Tzibur of the Yisrael. They have to go ahead and bring the Chavitika and Gadol, and not the Yarshim. Now the Pasuk also tells us Kalul Taktar has to be totally burnt, which is Kalul Lahaktar. It means to say that it's totally burnt on the Mizbeach, that none of it should be left over for be eaten. So that's what we quoted. Now, the Gemara is going to quote regarding the Salacha from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Kohen Gadol Shemes, regarding Kohen Gadol that died. So again, we had this Machlokes, which we just quoted, which is also in the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos over there, regarding if it's the Yarshin or if it's the Tzibur. Who is it? When the Kohen Gadol passed away, and there wasn't yet a new Kohen Gadol. As our Mishnah quoted this Machlokes, and Menachos, they quote this Machlokes, is it the Yarshin they have to continue bringing it, or is it the Tzibur? So now, the Gemara says that Rebbe Ba Bar Mamal Ba, he asked the following question. He says, Michlefa Shitzid Rebbe Shimon, the opinions of Rebbe Shimon is mixed up. There's a contradiction. And that is because Taman Amar, in Masechta Shkalim, over here in our Mishnah, Rebbe Shimon says, Mishal Yershin. He says that it's brought from the inheritors. And in other words, in our Mishnah we say, no, Rebbe Shimon doesn't say it's brought from the Yershin, that's Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Shimon says it's brought from the Tzibur, but how does he say that it's brought from the Tzibur? He says it's a Tanai Bezdin. It's a condition of Bezdin that's brought from the Tzibur, is Mashma. The inference could be made that Min HaTayra, Rebbe Shimon agrees to Rebbe Yehuda that it's brought from the Yershin. It's only a Tanai Bezdin that it's brought from the Tzibur. Yet V'hacha Amar, but here in Menachos, he says, Mishal Tzibur, it's brought from the Tzibur, because in the Mishnah Masechet Menachos, he brings a pasuk like we just quoted in the previous halacha in the Gemara. He says a pasuk of Chak Olam. So there's a pasuk that says that it's brought from the Tzibur. But that contradicts what he says over here in Shkalim, that he only says it's Tanai Bezdin that's brought from the Tzibur. Is Mashna that Midarais is brought from the Yershin. How do you understand this contradiction in Rabbi Shimon's opinion? So Amr B'chia, and we continue on top of Chafalaf Menalf, Barba, he says, V'lo Yoyesu Makshah. So isn't he asking a good question? It seems a very good question. Does Rabbi Shimon hold Midarais it's from the Yershin as is Mashna in our Mishnah, or from the Tzibur as is Mashna in Menachos, where he brings a Pasuk? So us Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Rabbi Avo, B'shem Rabbi Yechanan, that following resolution. You're right, as he says in Menachos, that he brings a pasuk. Min ha-Torah, it's brought from the Tzibra as the pasuk says Chakoyla. However, Hayisi Oimer Yigvula, I would say that they would make a special collection for this Chavite Kohen Gadol that has to be continued to be brought until a new Kohen Gadol comes around, and that is that they would not take it from the Trumas HaLishka. And that is every single Jewish person contributes towards the Karbanos Tzibur. They give a Machatzah Shekel, everyone gives, and that makes the Trumas HaLishka, and that is where they take off and buy the Karbanos Tzibur. Those are the funds of the Tzibur for Karbanos. Now, but I would say that wouldn't be the case regarding this case when the Kohen Gadol passes away and the Chavite Kohen Gadol have to be continued to be brought from the Tzibur. I would say they would make a special collection now from every single person, because the Pasuk is Mashm like that, where it says Chok Olam, that has to be brought from the Olam. You have to make a special collection from everybody. Oh, that is what Reb Shimon says over here in our Mishnah. Hiskinu, that's what the Tanai Bezna was, Shteba Metrumas Alishka. That it should be brought from the Trumas Alishka. You're right, Min HaTorah, as he says in Menachas, it's brought from the Tzibur. And Reb Shimon obviously agrees to that, as he says in Menachas. Now, what is he saying over here, that it's a Tanai of Bezin, that it's from the Tzibur? It means that instead of doing what would be Mashma Midereisa, that everyone now has to make a new collection, Bezin was Mesakin, that we could still take from Tzibur, but not in new collection, but rather from the Trumas HaLishka, that's where we could take it from. That was the Tanai of Bezin, not to say that it's from Yershin, and the Tanai is saying that it's a Tzibur, but rather, not to make a new collection of the Tzibur, but rather from their old collection, from the Trumas HaLishka.